Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Veronica W, and I am the Archives Chair for Texas Area Service, Cocaine Anonymous, and I have the honor of interviewing Val Valina from the Beaumont area that has been around for many, many years. She'll tell you her sobriety date and all of that, but I'm so excited and proud to be able to interview her today. The first thing I want to ask you before we get started, Vail, is do you agree to do this interview for the posterity of Cocaine Anonymous?
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. I already have your disclaimer, so just start wherever you want to start.
All right. In some of these topics, as I told you, I was able to go through and look at them. So I'll just talk about how I answered them. It asked, when did I come into Cocaine Anonymous? I came into Cocaine Anonymous in May of 95. My clean date is 10/9/94. And I came in through AA. And in the AA meeting, there was a lady named Toni. And she told me, she said, "You really need to check out CA." She said, "I think that you would really get a lot out of going to a CA meeting." Well, first I had to ask her what CA was. And she said, "Cocaine Anonymous." And so I said, "All right." In my very first meeting, I heard someone read how it works. And then they were reading about what is a cocaine addict. And I thought this guy was up there giving his life story because it talked about everything that I had gone through. And of course I cried. And then I found out, no, this is a reading that is done at every meeting. And I knew that I needed to hear that. AA was great. It got me from October, but I finally got to that meeting 7 months later, which was May, and I've been in CA and fervent to CA ever since. I combined both of them. I came and I learned a lot from going to the convention. I learned a lot from Nick. I learned a lot from Veronica, Daryl W, Hal K, Bobby, Wanda, Carrie, all of these people took me under their wing. Nick was our leader, and I'm going to talk about that. So it says, how would I describe CA in those early days? Here we were growing through unity. We were so desperate here to stay clean and sober. And so we would have a meeting before the meeting, a meeting after the meeting. Here we would go to Denny's. Denny's would actually have to put us out because we were so excited and we clung to one another. I thought about that and I actually began to cry because had it not been that all of us were on fire, we were on fire for recovery. We knew the program worked and we were willing now to work the program, not our program. We work the program. And see, this is my third rodeo. The first two times, I'm highly educated. Oh, I was going to rewrite the big book. They laugh in the program every day when they think about me telling them I was going to rewrite the big book because I've written books. But they told me to take this program because I didn't know anything. They told me, shut up. They said, what you know earned you the seat you sit in. And those little sayings like that, it really affected me. When it would say, think, think. They told me my first think was when I was thinking myself into using. The second think was when I was stuck and stupid and angry. And then the last one was when I would sit there and cry because it was all over with. And they told me, keep those thoughts right in the forefront the rest of your life. And you will never go back. They told me if I put 10% into recovery, 10% of the time that I spent the chasing and the using, then I would make it. And shit, I can do 10% with my goddamn hand behind my back on one leg. So I knew that I could do this. I knew. And I hit a bottom that was sufficient enough for me to say that God could and would if he was sought. And I sought a God of my understanding, not the Catholic Church God. I sought the God that this program teaches. And that God was loving, kind, and merciful. He wasn't hellfire and brimstone. And that God took me. And there's a picture where there's a hand reaching up out of a mire of mud. And that's my story. That and the footprints of the sand and reading the promises. That's how I got started. And I clung to it because I knew it would work. It wasn't a question. The question was I willing to work the program, just as it is? And I needed to move my ego out the way, let God come on in. I knew it that this program had saved millions of people, and that I was going to be one. It says here, look, I'm in tears now. I gotta try to find try to see the third question now. It said the name of any particular group. We were New Freedom, and New Freedom and the people that were in there, we always were taught to move around a little bit and see the program in other groups. And so I would come to Houston after I met people in the at the convention the very first time. And then here in Port Arthur, they had a CA group as well. So we helped each other by coming to each other's meetings, supporting each other. We learned the value of unity. The group size at that time when we first started was about 15 people. And in our business meetings, we chose to have a speaker meeting as one of them. And the speaker meetings and reading the stories actually helped me to know that if it worked for them, it would work for me too. I remember that, let me see, I'm trying to get the tears out of my eyes so I can see what I wrote. We grew as the dual addiction became understood. There were a lot of people in AA that actually, like me, where I first cleaned up, that needed to come to CA. And I'll never forget going to a convention. It was called the Best 20 Ever. That was the thing that grabbed my attention. Because, yeah, I'll buy 20s. Okay. And yet, this was a celebration in CA that 20 years of existence had finally occurred. And I was like, okay, God is doing for all of us. And the thing that has really impacted me is from year to year to year, because I have not missed a convention since I got clean and sober, that those people got to know me. The same unity that occurs in the meetings, it began to occur at the convention. Everybody got to know Vail J from Beaumont. And they became soulmates, best friends. I mean, the deepest word that I could come up with for a relationship. Those are my peeps, and they're there in the program. I may not see them often. Sometimes years go by. And just like, you know, we talk about each other, who's healthy, who's not, who's passed. We've grieved for each other. We've cheered each other on with becoming grandparents, getting married. Some of us have had to let go of our friends because they re decided to return back. But I say that better them than to me. I thought that was so hard when I first heard that here that you all would say that. Guess what? Better them than me, baby. Because whatever they did that sent them back out there, and some of them have been kind enough to see me later and to tell me what they did that got them back out there. There was a guy in here, he was Mr. AA, and he went back out. And I asked him, what happened that after 8 years and you teaching me this program, you went back out? And he told me, he said, because I love you, I'm going to tell you exactly what I did. And he went back into a lot of his character defects. He picked them back up, and there he was out there again, being brought to the meeting on the van. And I thank him today that he did that. And in his addiction, he was killed. He in the addiction, he robbed a place and was killed. And I even thank him for that, because like I said, those were things I needed to see. And I went up to his body at the funeral just so I could thank him. It said, did I attend area and district meetings? Yes. I was the representative from Beaumont, and we would go to the I think it first was called district and then area. Maybe I got them backwards. But what I liked was that in those meetings, we were representatives from different groups, but it was so structured. And I thought to myself, a bunch of addicts trying to pull off something. And then I found that we were basically very good people, many of us educated, but we kept on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, and so we were insane. And I needed to know that for me. I needed to know that for me. That all the knowledge in the world and all these degrees I got ain't got nothing to do with the fact that I am still and will always be, till I take that last breath, I'll always be an addict. I even do things now where I can see my addiction, and I go buy clothes, I can't buy one piece. I go buy a purse, I gotta have three. I am an addict to the bone. And that's okay, as long as I recognize and do something about it. It said, did I hold any service positions? Yes. As I said, I was the representative from here. But the biggest thing was when I was invited or nominated, probably nominated or or actually told, voluntold, that I was going to be the co-chair to the convention with Wilbur. And in doing that, a lot of meetings, I learned the responsibilities of different people that have to pull off a convention. A lot of decisions were made in those meetings. It was interesting to see a bunch of crack addicts pull off a convention and make a decision. Oh my God. And it was great that as the co-chairs, Wilbert and I would oftentimes have to stop everybody, slow it down, and even go back to prayer. We never began a business meeting without prayer, because we needed God to come on in first before we got started. But when we got started without a prayer, we could tell, and we would stop and go back to pray. Go back to praise. And y'all taught me that I could start my day off at any given time, and I didn't have to stay in that funk. That first I got to call God in, and then after that, just get busy. Because see, with a clean mind, I could do anything. I could do anything, and I found that out through this program. As I said, I was delegated to do that. It says, "Do you remember who the world delegates were?" Yes, I remember. I didn't understand what they were talking about, world delegates nor trustees. And I remember that Bobby and Wanda and Carrie sat me down at a convention. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And they explained to me the structure of the program. And they said, okay, you know what a local meeting is, and now you know what a district or area. Well, it's even bigger than that. And
Wow.
it's world. And I was so glad to be part of something that I wasn't trying to fit in, because that had been my story. I was a member. I earned the seat I sat in. And they recognized that I could actually be vital without me forcing myself on someone. And they said, okay, Vail, you have a way of reaching people. And after I would talk, I could never remember what I said. And the guy gave me a book called Language of the Heart. And he said, that's because God is speaking through you, and you allow him to. And I remember after I would speak, I'd be exhausted. Well, God was speaking through me, and he was so powerful that I would just be exhausted when it was over with. And I remember one time, there was a girl here that I sponsor, and it was her sponsee, and I taught them the meeting format and how to do it. And she took that program, CA program, to Dallas. We go to Dallas, and she's the treasurer of the group. And we all understood that there were no leaders, that we all do this together. And real short and sweet, is that she was in a meeting, new boyfriend, old boyfriend busts into the meeting, kills the old boyfriend, and he went and he killed her. And that was my sponsee's sponsee. And I had to take my sponsee to Dallas to bury that girl. I learned that in the rooms, some of us are crazier than others. And I say that because all of these deaths that have occurred while I've been clean and sober is simply to teach me something. And that's why how I embrace it. My sponsee, in fact, this month, she's making 25 years. And
Wow.
more than just sponsee. That's my girl. Come and see about me. She came to see about me yesterday because she knew about this here. And there's nothing that I ever need. And I found that out in this program. I didn't have friends before, but I got about five on my account on one hand. If anything I need, they will come and see about me. They'll come and see about me, and I drop whatever I got to do to go see about them, because that's what y'all taught me to do. That's what y'all taught me to do. It says the history. I've been the treasurer, I've been the secretary, I've been the representative. There was one time in the program that I had to do all the jobs, and I remember telling Nick that I was angry about that. He said, "Well, who you think brought the program here and did all those jobs before I taught y'all?" And so he told me this. He said, "I'm not saying that God loves us more." He said, "But I am going to tell you, when you look around, you will see those that are doing the service work are being blessed and highly favored." He said, "Because it's difficult. It's difficult working with people that, and when we say some of us are sicker than others," and he said, "Some of us are, but we keep on. And we keep encouraging them, and we keep teaching them, and we teach them, and we do this by example. We don't give advice. All they do is watch us do the walk and the talk." And he said, "You can't pass on something you ain't got." He said, "And some of them gonna get in there, and you're gonna think that they got it, and they don't." He said, "But God will bless you and bless you abundantly when you serve His people." And he told me, he said, "Some of the greatest people in the world, Val, have been the biggest servants of the world." So he told me, he said, "Serve and serve unconditionally without expecting anything in return." He said, "God got you. God got you because He brought you here to this point." He said, "But serve unconditionally and don't expect anything, and God will take care of you." And to this day, I have never had to worry about food. You see how cheeky I am, shit. And then I got the five basic needs, and they're well met by the God of my understanding. It said, "Can I tell the history?" Yes, I can tell the history in that I remember Nick telling us when he had first come, and what his story was like. And so there were about 10 faithful members. What I mean by that, every meeting that CA had, you could count on us being there. And then he taught us how to rotate positions and to rotate chair people and what it takes to bring a topic to a meeting. And that it the topic should be something that we can refer back to the book and show them where we got it from. And it should never be our opinion, that we don't have an opinion, that we have a big book that we follow. And that every problem that you could ever have could be solved through the big book. We had no controversies in our group because I think because we stuck to the program. We didn't let mess come in. We didn't do relationships, and we stated that. And when the chairperson, whoever was chairing, they had to know enough how to stop that meeting and redirect everybody back to the topic of what we were there for. And when it says that it has to deal with the problems that occur because of alcoholism or drug addiction, that's the way we redirected them. So it was done with care and it was done with direction. And so I say that because then so many more have grasped this. They could do the meetings. I could step out of the way and watch them and then gently talk to them after a meeting and say, "Okay, this is how we do it in CA. and you might want to follow that. Okay.
Hmm.
We had no splits. Like I told you, we would go to Port Arthur and go to their CA group, and we all supported each other. So our meetings began to grow, and our meetings began to grow so much that where we were located, we needed a bigger place. And we were able to find these places. Some of my most memorable moments in the early days was, as I said, the partying before conventions. Oh my God, when we knew we were getting ready to go to convention, we would invite people from Galveston, from Houston to come to Beaumont. It was usually the week before the convention. We would throw down with good food and eating and dancing. And we were amazed to find we could have such a good time without using any type of mind altering, mood altering situation. That was new for many of us. I remember saying, I can't even eat crawfish without drinking a beer. Well, guess what? I learned how to eat the goddamn crawfish, and I still eat crawfish, and I still am coming up on 30 years uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. You have no idea how much that means to me. Because I couldn't keep 30 minutes. Coming up on 30 years. And I've gone places, I've told my story. My story is no different than anybody else's story. And I've researched to find out how and why did I ever touch the first drink or drug. And I've come to terms with that. I have forgiven those that hurt me, and I've forgiven myself. And the biggest thing for me to forget was myself, for the things I did to myself. And there's even something that at the end of the meeting, we read about that. These types of things have helped me to stay clean and sober. The growing pains, our growing pains were locations, as I said. As we kept growing and getting so big, we needed larger locations. And sometimes some of the places we went to would not give us the key for the access. And I knew that wasn't nothing but the devil trying to stop us. Trying to stop us from growing. Trying to stop us from helping somebody. And the devil is alive. Because I want to tell you, my mother, who began to grasp this program and the importance in my life, she went to bat for me and for us. And she made those people open up them places for us. And now she knows the value of the program. And everybody in Beaumont knows Mimi through the program because they know the fight that she put up to make sure we had a place to recover. The shortcomings in those days, well, I really didn't know enough to know that it was a shortcoming, but I can say today that a shortcoming that has developed is that because of dual addiction, many I've seen many just get comfortable in an AA meeting, even though they're not observing the tradition that says that we should be respectful that we're in an AA meeting. They want to talk about the drugs, and of course, those old timer AAs they redirect that real quick. And I do too. A shortcoming that I'm noticing is and it started here with people taking pictures of one another and putting it on Facebook when that occurred and stuff. And I would tell them that that's not how the program works, as well as we have traditions and things that say that it shouldn't be that way. But you know, I also know I can't control people. But what I can control is that my picture does not show up with that. And they even want to tease me sometimes. Well, you know, she don't take no pictures with her. No, I don't. Because I understand the traditions, and I'm going to honor the traditions. Now, if they want to push themselves up for staying clean and sober, for me, all I do is show up. What got me clean and sober and keeps me clean and sober is a God of my understanding. Now, if they want to get up there and talk about that God did this for them, then I'm okay with that. But I still don't put it on Facebook. I know what the power of God is. I know the power of prayer. My prayers back then when I was using, Lord, how I'm gonna get the next one. But if it wasn't for the power and the prayer of my mother, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. My mama prayed for me. My mama prayed for me. And I needed her prayer. because I wasn't praying. I wasn't praying. The early days, the things that we did right, man, these tears I can barely see.
That's
Things we
okay.
did right was us going to Houston and hooking up with the different CA groups that were there. And you guys would have anniversaries and speaker meetings and things like that. And it was never too far for me to travel because shit, I traveled all over trying to find the damn drugs, and y'all told me just do 10%. So that's what I did. I traveled all over and I grabbed my little sponsees and that was my posse. And we gonna go. We gonna go wherever we needed to go. That time when we went to Dallas, I was the speaker for an anniversary. And I had, there's a girl that cleaned up 1 week after me. And we're gonna celebrate come October, Lord say the same, 30 years together. And she and my sponsee went with me to Dallas because the lady that we taught, now she was in Dallas. That was the anniversary and they needed a speaker. And they had all these units that were there. And it was over 250 people. I remember that. And they had the ladies to be able to sit down in the chairs. And the men were hanging down from the rafters because it was a two-story building. They were looking down at me. And they were so hauled out, scared the shit out of me. And I'm telling my sponsee, my sponsee and the other lady, y'all stick close to me. Because, I always looked like $1 million. And I walked in looking like $1 million. And I didn't care about that too. But stay close to me because I had never seen people that hauled out. But it was as I was telling my story, and I looked up and I saw all these men that were crying, listening to my story. And they asked me afterwards, when did I get to the point where I could tell somebody I'd been molested? And I told them what y'all told me, your secrets will keep you sick. And I said, as I shared it, it lost its strength. It lost its strength. And I said, then in a women's meeting, I found out that if I sit down with four women, there's only one woman that's sitting there that hasn't been molested. The other three probably have. And they might not be talking about it. And that if I talk about it, I could release it for them. And that's what has happened. But it was the men that were crying, the men that had been to prison and they'd been sexually molested. And so at that meeting, a lot of them took our telephone numbers like you're supposed to do. And it was because they had our telephone numbers that they called us to tell us that Lois had been killed in a meeting. And then I had to grab those women and bring them to Dallas. I was always the one with the car. Was one of them closet recovering addicts at first. And take them with me. And I took my sponsee because that was her sponsee. And I wrapped my arm around and I said, you getting ready to do this. We're going to walk up to that casket. And God fixed it where we were there by herself. And we had that quality time with her. Those types of things were early in my recovery. What I think that they did right was teach us the value of unity. The relationship, was there any relationship with AA? Yes, there was. However, we really pushed those that were in AA if they shared that they were duly addicted to come on to CA. And then some went to NA. But we really, because that was my story, how I got there. And so we got them to come to CA. And once they heard who was a cocaine addict, just like me, they thought it was just and then when they found out it's read every meeting, they could and some of them we actually put the reading in their hands so that they could read it to themselves. So they could read it to themselves and see it in black and white. It asked, did I attend any CA events? Yes. We even had Celebrate Around the World here. We put that together. And I think you were one of our speakers. Yeah, we knew what to do. Y'all had told us what to do. Go get them heavy hitters. Y'all, we call y'all heavy hitters. Go get them heavy hitters and bring them and let other people see and let them hear from you all how much clean time y'all had. and to know that clean time for some was really clean time, uninterrupted. And so they saw that. They saw that. Other meetings, I said that about the other meetings. What do I remember about them? It's like I said, it's getting to know you all, knowing that if y'all said y'all was coming, y'all came. You had a word. You taught us to have a word, to be responsible again, to be responsible to our children, to be responsible to ourselves. And you even, I remember somebody said that after 5 years, that you might want to go back and grab the part of your life that you had left behind. Because for 7 years, I never missed a meeting, not one night. I did my drugs like that. I did my recovery like that. 7 years went by before I missed my first meeting, and I felt like, oh Lord, I couldn't stand it. I knew then I was hooked. I was addicted. I was addicted to the meetings, and that it would save my life. And I encourage others to fall in love with the program. Fall in love with the program like you thought you fell in love with that drug till the drug started doing you. Okay, so fall in love with this. And then when we would say God would show up and show out. For me, when God showed up and showed out, he was so awesome that I there was no way that I could deny that God was all powerful. There was no way. I'm the lady couldn't keep 30 minutes. Now I'm looking at 30 years. That lady. It says thoughts, your thoughts about how it has developed over the years. Well, I was disappointed to find out that at one of the last CA conventions they had no the workshop. The workshops were so vital to me. They taught me how this program works. And the people that had to present them, I remember you all telling us we had to submit information, where we found our information from. It could not be your opinions, and that you had to have these this work printed and ready to give out. And I like that. I really like that. And I think that the workshops are vital, vital to the life of this program. It's not a choice. If you have to, you go find people that can do the goddamn workshop. But you have to have structure. And the structure is what I liked most about this program when I first got here. Bunch of crack addicts, but with structure. We have got to get to that. Do I still attend CA meetings? Yes. The situation got where there wasn't a lot of CA devoted people helping me, and I went back to school. And so right now we don't have CA meetings in Beaumont, but this is the summer that I'm out and able to get around. I've had surgeries and what have you, and I'm going to see about getting CA again. And I do have a location, and I have some committed people that now, as we've gotten older and retired and what have you, we know what brought us to the party, and we're ready to commit all over again. It says, what would you say to today's trusted servants? In being a trusted servant, they have to understand that first, you're not a president, you don't run nothing. Secondly, you will be given monies and things like that, where you should and need to be a trusted servant. And sometimes you're gonna have to make decisions without bringing it to the group, because the decisions have to be made right away. So you should know the pulse of your group, and then be ready to report what you had to do, what decisions you had to make, and that it was done for the good of the group. How would I like to be remembered? Wow. I'd like to be remembered as the lady that carried the message. The lady that moved her ego out of the way. Because since I've been clean and sober, I got a master's degree. I've been a principal at a school. I got a superintendent's certification. And I'm Dr. Johnson now. I never would have been any of that. None of it. Had it not been for this program and me willing to carry the message to tell somebody God didn't love me and don't love me no more than he loved you. And I will help you to learn how to love yourself. And sometimes you might not like the way I bring it to you, because I'm not a principal by mistake, baby. I'm well known in this area. Dr. Johnson, don't play. That's what the children say. I don't play. Education is very important, but education in all realms is very important. Education of how this program works, that's very important to me, to tell somebody that it does work. I love the big book. I love the chapters of the big book. And I like the way that God structured them through people to put them in an order that needed to be. This whole situation with this program is God led to help people like us who thought that we were hopeless, who acted like we were hopeless. We acted our way into that. And for us to know that there is a solution. I preach there is a solution, because God is all powerful. I have to bring them to understand that. And that he gave us a solution. So get busy in the solution. Get out of the problem. Let's get into the solution. And that's the way that I lead them. It says on here, is there anything that I'd like to say to CA? I'd like to say, you saved my life. You saved my life, because I was willing to do what you suggested. Everything that was suggested, I did as a must. There was an old guy that told me I would learn how to understand that not everybody that was talking the talk could walk the walk. He said I'd learn how to differentiate. And I have. And I still say, but God uses each and every one of us to teach all of us something. And so I appreciate that now. My sobriety date is 10/9/94. I use crack and I drink. I was first introduced to CA by Tony, a woman. How did I get to my first meeting? Tony took me to a CA meeting. New Freedom is my group. Tony took me through the steps. I learned at a convention that once we do the steps, we should go back and do the steps again. I learned that when it said that more would be revealed, God didn't reveal to me everything that I'd done the first time I did the steps. And I thank God that he did. Yeah. Because with a clear head, and I started looking at some of the things I did, that could have been a reason for me to go back. So I have done the steps 3 times with different people. And that has helped too. The CA Unity keeps me coming back. It says, let me see, do I know who started it? It was a guy named Nick R. He brought it here. What were the meetings like in the beginning? I said we had a topic. And we knew where to find the topics. It wasn't just haphazard. AA has a list of topics. And we understood that CA came out of AA, and that's why CA has a book of stories, but that the big book is where we come from. And I taught that too. Why is it necessary to start groups? It's necessary to start CA meetings where I live because of the number of addicts that are here. Potential meetings, how do they find out, or how did they find out? We had flyers. We went to care units. We went in there and we spoke. And then at that time, the units were able to bring their people, whoever was there, to the meetings. The social climate around there. We definitely told everybody that we're all sick. You ain't coming in here to start no relationship. Stop looking at the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever you are, and get focused on staying clean and sober and invest in yourself. And like I said, sometimes they would see that I was very terse about that. But I reminded them, this disease is out to kill you. It's out to kill you. It's designed to kill you. Designed. It's going to kill the family. It's going to kill you. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's in another book, too. But guess what? That our program started with the Oxford group that came from that group. That book. So I even went to research. How did this all start? I really like that they understood that you had to say the God of your understanding, so that no matter if you believe in God or not, and there's a chapter to the agnostics. Sometimes I have to know that. I can't pass on something I don't know. So I have to send them into that. And then after that, if they can get to the point of understanding that there's something bigger than them, then we're well on our way. Well on our way. How did you attract new members? I sponsored, of course. Somebody asked me the other day, how many people that have gotten my telephone number have stayed clean and sober? And I said, baby, I said, yeah, I'm gonna tell you this. If I had a dollar for everybody that got my telephone number, I wouldn't be working. Okay. I said, but it's not important to me how many get the number. What's important to me is that I'm there so that they know that I'm available. Now, what they do, because now it's an action program. They have to get in the same action and be willing to do what I did to get what I got. And so don't tell me you want to be like Miss Vail, and then when I tell you what you got to do, then you don't want to do it. And I understand that that's the addiction. I truly believe that the recovery is of God and that the addiction is of the devil. Because I remember one time, the devil was sitting there laughing at my silly ass after I'd been gone for 3 days, laughing at me. I could see him. And I said, you know what? You a lie. And I don't care by any means necessary. I'm going to get this program. I'm going to make you so mad, you're going to hate me. I talk to the devil like I talk to God. Sometimes we have to. We have to recognize him. We have to recognize him. He has a place. He wants to exist. But he ain't going to exist in my life. Not today. Not today. Not today. I can choose to let him. I can choose to not let him. Y'all told me that too. Y'all told me that. Now, I don't know how I done lost this thing, but I'm getting ready to get it back again. You, the devil is a lie. Let me continue. Maybe it'll pop up again, because like I told you, I don't know what I did that got the thing to work, but all of a sudden it started working. And I know that ain't nothing but a God thing too.
That's
Because
right.
he does everything. I'm telling you, when I say God just does everything in my life, and I turn my life over to him. Hey,
There you
Miss,
go.
there we go. See that? See that? Told you. Let me see what else it says. Conduct business in the beginning. How did they? We followed the business meeting format. We prayed, and we used the business meeting prayer before we would have a business meeting. World Service actually, did I find them? No, they actually found me. Because my name and contact information was at the bottom of flyers, that if anybody came into this area and wanted to come to a CA meeting, I was often the one that was called.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Hallelujah.
there we go again.
That's
I'm gonna
okay.
get it. I'm gonna get it back. Yes, because you didn't see me.
Yep.
Do I remember the early delegates? Yes, I talked about them. Memories. Who else was going to CA in the early days? I told you about our little group here. What literature was read? The literature was not just read, but we made sure that the CA literature was visible, and that we purchased it so that there was no excuse for not knowing that it wasn't our opinions, that it was actually a literature that came from CA. And it was a teaching tool so that they would know that CA was a world organization, and where we get all of our information from. What's my favorite CA reading? Who's a cocaine addict? What was my reaction the first time? I thought somebody was telling their story. The first convention that I attended was in Houston. We went from Houston to Galveston. I think we went to San Antonio. Wherever the convention meetings have been in the last 30 years, I've been there. I think with COVID, we did not have one year. I think maybe, and it's been another one that I could not attend. Last year, I had foot surgery, and I was on a scooter. I was on a scooter, and that's where I found out that there was not the workshops. And I told somebody, I said, "Oh no, what have I got to do to get back in to influence these people and get them to understand? We got to have workshops, okay? If I need to, I'll lead a workshop. All right. The women. It says any memorable controversy, did they help or hinder the growth? We got the women meetings going. I like that. But at the convention, I began to see that those that were leading the women's meetings were not did not know how to steer that meeting back to problems that women have with recovery. I saw too much mess coming in, and then the women's meetings are held at midnight when we're dead tired, and for many of us, we liked it in some ways. It was after everything; it was quiet. We would bring our blankets because we were cold, but we would fall asleep in the meeting. And because of that, I say that it would be, I think it would behoove any convention to have your women's meeting earlier. I think that that is vital for women to meet other women. Some of us find our sponsors there at the women's meeting at the convention. Let's see, it says, what's the most fun that I ever had? The speaker meetings and the dances afterwards. Lord have mercy. I'll never forget hearing at a CA convention, this guy from Arkansas, that when he came in off of the atomic dog. And we were all dancing, we were dogging and everything, you know how we do. And he told a story, and I didn't know he was telling his own story. And now he big time Mr. ADA or whatever for the whole state of Arkansas. And I liked the way he did that. And so you know me, I had to come back home and do the same thing. Oh man, I came in and let me tell you something. I had everybody dancing. And then I told a story. And they didn't know I was telling my own story. You see, we learn to go to places that works for somebody else. And we mirror what they do. So it keeps me humble. It's not me. I'm getting it from somebody else. And I always have to tell them that everything I've learned is because of people like you that taught me these things. My most memorable moment, as I said, our group would get a hospitality suite. And I would always be the cook of the cook. I love to cook, I love to give. By the grace of God, I got the money to do the thing. And so then our hospitality group would invite others in, like we're supposed to, feed them, and then we would have like a meeting aside from a meeting. And people could sit there. And we weren't so into playing cards and things like that, which I don't knock that. But we would be talking about living life on life terms. What it was like now for us. And sometimes those people would just walk in and they'd be eating and they would just sit there and listen to us talk. And we were always talking recovery. We were always talking recovery. That's the way we did our group. That's the way we still do our group. What is it like now? What it was like then? We tell stories of how silly we was, how insane we were, so that they know that they fit in too, that we're no different than them. And we laugh about it. I remember the first time I heard people laughing about their recovery, and I was like, "What the hell, y'all laughing at? This shit is serious." And finally, I got to the point where I could laugh about my dumb ass. And then I knew I had arrived because it was funny. It was sad. It was sad that we were like that, but it was real. It was real. And now we could laugh about it. And we laughed. I learned in here, y'all taught me that the laughter is simply saying that we relate. And I had to teach that to other people. We're laughing because we relate. Any mistakes that were made? I can't look at mistakes. I can look at the successes.
Yeah,
Because
there you go.
there are just too many successes for me to look at mistakes because We also knew that if after the meeting, after the convention, we'd have a wrap-up meeting, and we talked about what we did right and what we could have done better. And that's what we learned. What can we do better? It wasn't looking at what did we do wrong. Okay, it was like, what we're gonna do the next time that's gonna be better. And then having a secretary or somebody that was jotting all this stuff down, so that then for the next group that came along, they could read these types of things and not do the same mistakes. I don't know what happened that, oh, yes, I do know. I know that when I first came in, you, Daryl, Carrie, Hal, and the way that y'all were doing things and what have you, and I know over a period of time that seemed to change. It seemed to change the people that stepped forward to be the leaders of pulling off one of these. And I'm not sure if the people that I just named visited with them to tell them why this would be successful. I just know that it has changed. And that I would like to see a lot of the old things that we did come back and be part of the success of CA, because I know that it can. And I know that it will, that if we come back and get some of these old timers, I want to call them, back involved in it. The involvement with CA now, do I still attend? I told you about that. Service, do I have any CA service commitments? I'm still called on to go and tell my story different places because people know me through CA. And
And you're
is
working hard to get it
the
back started, so that's a commitment.
That's right. And closing comments. Has the torch been passed? Yes. I told you how I'd like to be remembered. What gave me the most satisfaction was co-chairing that convention, because then I learned about the different positions and their duties, and how to take someone to the manual and show them where I got all this information from, how to stick to it. I learned and reading history of AA, how some groups continued to make it and how some of them didn't. That the traditions are very vital, and you must understand and accept and follow the traditions. I believe it's a must. And so I guess that would answer what could I do to make it a better fellowship. Well, I just told you. My name is Val J. My clean date is 10/9/94, and I owe my life to CA.
Thank you so much, Vale. I've been going down memory lane with you, and I had totally forgotten that we got sober in the same month. I'll have 35 in October, and